Okay, how's everyone doing? Doing good? Doing good? Well, my name's Katie, for all of you who don't know me. I just graduated high school. What up? And I'm preaching tonight, so it's going to be good. And I'm kind of, like, really nervous, so it's going to be good. Well, I've had, like, a lot of time to think about what I was going to preach on. And in fact, like, a year ago, when Justin was talking to last year's seniors about preaching, he's like, don't worry, Katie and Emily, you're going to be next year. And so I've had like a whole year to dread doing this, but it's going to be good. So back in February, I was kind of praying about like what I was going to preach on, and I wasn't expecting to get it all figured out, and I wasn't like thinking that I was going to get it all figured out. But at that time, I was kind of dealing with some anger and frustration from my parents' divorce that happened 10 years ago. And over again, the Lord just kept telling me, like, Katie, I'm not like your mom, and I'm not like your dad, so come to me. And so I was like, yeah, Jesus, I know you're not like my mom. I know you're not like my dad. You're like the God of the universe, like I know. But over and over again, he kept saying that. We went to San Francisco for spring break, and when we went to this, like, church service there, and the preacher there, like, over and over again was like, you need to let go of, like, who your parents are, because that's not who God is. And so, like, after that, I was like, that's what I'm supposed to preach on. That's what the Lord has for me. So that's what I'm going to do. That's kind of like the outline behind it. So the bottom line, you guys can get your handouts and stuff from out from underneath your chair. And the bottom line is, come to God with everything, and he will give you everything you need. Come to God with everything, and he will give you everything you need. One more time. Come to God with everything, and he will give you everything you need. I want to start in Romans 8, 12 through 17. I think it's a common verse that if you grew up in church, you'll probably like recognize. And it says, so then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. So I think that's definitely a good verse to be reminded that, like, we're children of God, and, like, God's our Father, and if we follow him, that we get to be children, and we get to cry out to him, like, Abba, Father. And Abba, if you grew up in church, you probably, like, heard what it means and stuff, but if you Google it, it says a term associated with deep intimacy. And I think that's, like, the coolest thing ever, that we, as, like, human beings and we as people can have, like, deep intimacy with the God of the universe, like, the God who created everything, and that we can, like, go to him and call him Daddy. And so in John 3, 1 through 3, it also says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are children now, and what will be has not yet appeared, but we know that even when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. And so from these two verses, I think it's, like, pretty clear that we're children of God and stuff. But those obviously, like, aren't the only two verses in the Bible. And if you Wikipedia it, so it's probably not, like, 100% accurate, but it says that God is related to the term Father, like, over 1,500 times in the Bible. And so that's, like, a butt ton of times. And I think that's so crazy. I think it's crazy, like, when you hear that over and over again and over and over again. I think it can be easy to compare that to what you already know a father to be. So if you have, like, a good father, I think it can be easy to be like, well, God was good then, and I want a relationship with him, versus someone who has, like, a bad father. I think it can be harder for them to be like, well, yeah, I want a relationship with him, because to me, a father is something bad. And so I think a good example of this is with baby names. And I know that, like, for most guys, you probably haven't, like, planned your child's name yet. But growing up with, like, a baby doll and, like, Barbies and stuff, it was always, like, super fun to, like, name them and stuff. And I feel like, in general, names are associated with people, and that can be, like, good or bad. But so for me, when I was little, I was obsessed with Lizzie McGuire, like obsessed. And like I absolutely adored her. And so all of my baby dolls and all of my Barbies, I always named Lizzie, like over and over again. Like they were all Lizzie. And then for my sister Emily, shout out to her. In second grade, my grandma B had gotten us both these like Mary Kay lip glosses, and they were like super legit lip gloss, stuff that you don't just buy at Walmart. They were super cool. And Emily took hers to school and had it in her desk and had it like sitting there. And one day, this girl named Erica had it all of a sudden and was like using it and was saying that her grandma got it for her. And so to this day, no offense to anyone whose name is Erica, but Emily hates the name Erica. Like, she just hates it. And so I think that's a good example of like how it can be with God. I think, like I said before, if you have a good father, I think it can be easy to be like, yeah, God's good and I want a relationship with him, versus someone who doesn't have a good father. I think it can be like harder. Your first blank you have is earthly fathers don't compare to the heavenly God. Earthly fathers don't compare to the heavenly God. And so I kind of want to share how this went down for me, and I want to clarify, like, so much that this has nothing to do with my parents. This is not a slam against them at all, whatsoever. But this is just how it went down for me and kind of, like, why I'm speaking on this. So when I was 9 years old, my parents' 25-year marriage ended. And as a 9-year-old, I don't think I really, like, understood what marriage was or what divorce was. And I definitely didn't understand, like, the impact it was going to have on the rest of my life. As a 9-year-old, I didn't understand, and I wasn't, like, deeply affected by it. But a year later, both my parents got remarried, and my dad's first marriage wasn't going so well. There was a lot of fighting in it and just a lot of not good stuff. And growing up in a family before with, like, no fighting and nothing, like, whatsoever, it was really hard on me, and I was really hurt by it. And I think as a young girl, like, it was really, really hard. And so I pushed it down. I just didn't want to deal with it anymore. I didn't want it to be a part of my life. And so I kind of, like, pushed myself away from, like, step relationships with people, like, step family relations. And so that marriage eventually ended. And a couple years later, my dad got remarried again. And in that, I was so hurt from the last one that I wanted nothing to do with the new relationship, like nothing. And so I, like, would go into my room. Every time I was at my dad's house, I would go into my room and I would shut the door and I'd lock it, and I didn't want anything to do with it. I was 15 years old and I was, like, counting down the days until I turned 16 so that I could just leave whenever I wanted to leave. And so in that, like, I was really hurt by that. I felt like I have a great relationship with my dad. And so it was so hard to not have that anymore, to kind of be, like, separated from that, not a part of that. But the final straw came last September when my mom and my stepdad's marriage started falling apart. And I just got, like, super angry, like, super, super angry. And it wasn't, like, solely at that falling apart, but it was because every marriage my parents had had was failing and had failed. And I was super upset about that. I felt like my parents couldn't understand where I was at, that their parents were never divorced. And so I was the one caught in the middle. I was the one, me and my sister were the one going back and forth from house to house, packing a bag every week, living under this house with these expectations to this house with these expectations. And so I was really upset and I was really angry and I felt like no one understood. And so in that, when my mom and my stepdad's marriage was failing, we were in a hotel room one day, and there was a Bible. I know this is really cheesy, but there was a Bible on the nightstand beside the bed, and I grabbed it, and I was super angry with God. I felt like he had let me down. I felt like he wasn't around. He kind of had lost control of my life, and that ultimately he was going to let me down too, like my parents. And so I grabbed the Bible, and I was, like, flipping through it, and I was kind of reading through Matthew, and there's this verse I want to read to you guys. And it's Matthew 11:25, and it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I think this verse, like, completely changed my life. I'd been growing up around broken relationships and broken people and, like, brokenness, and ultimately, like, I was super broken from it. I was super hurt from it. And growing up in religion, I always thought that, like, to come to God, you couldn't be angry with him, and you couldn't be, like, frustrated with him, but you had to be good. But that verse, it doesn't say, like, come to me, like, whole, or come to me happy. It just says, come to me. And so I think, like, that's, like, the father heart of God. I think, like, he wants us to come to him wherever we're at in life. I think we all have mothers. Well, I don't think. We all have mothers, and we all have dads. And so I think it's easy. It's hard to define what a mom is and what a dad is, because what my mom and my dad are to me is going to be different to what they are for my own twin sister. And so I don't think you can easily define that. But the one thing that every single mom and every single dad on the planet have in common is that every single one of them is broken, like every single one, because we're all broken and because humanity is broken. And so I think that's where Jesus comes in. He's like, I'm not like your mom and I'm not like your dad. Where your parents break you and where the world breaks you and where you're broken, like, I come in and I heal you and I make you new and I make you whole. And so there's a couple of verses that I want to read. One of them is Psalms 147:1, and it says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. The Lord does build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. Psalms 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. In Isaiah 30:26, moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day when the Lord binds up the brokenness of his people and heals the wounds inflicted by his blow. And so you can be, like, deeply assured that, like, wherever you're at in life, whether you're having a great day and your relationship with Jesus is going good, or you're having a bad day and your walk with God isn't so good, that, like, God wants you to come to him wherever you're at, like, wherever you're at. I think it can be easy to play it both ways. Like I just said, to be like, life is good, and so I'm good where I'm at. I don't need Jesus. Like, I'm good where I'm at. Or to play it like, I'm not doing good, and my relationship with Jesus isn't good, and so I just don't really want to come to him. But wherever you're at in life, like, wherever you're at, like, God wants you to come to him, and he wants to heal you, and he wants you to know that it's okay not to be okay. And so I think a good example of this is found in Matthew 9, when Jesus is eating dinner with sinners and the tax collectors, and the Pharisees come, and they're like, how come your teacher is eating with sinners? And Jesus hears it, and he's like, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. And so I think in that, like, it's good to be reminded, like, you don't have to be good to come to Jesus. You don't have to be okay. You don't have to have it all together to come to Jesus. And so there's a quote I want to read. It's by Brennan Manning, and he wrote the book Ragamuffin Gospel. And I hear he's pretty legit. So here's the quote. We don't have to sift our hearts and analyze our intentions before running home. Abba just wants us to show up. We don't have to tarry at the tavern until purity of our heart arrives. We don't have to be shredded with sorrow or crushed with contrition. We don't have to be perfect or even very good before God will accept us. We don't have to wallow in guilt, shame, remorse, and self-condemnation, even if we still nurse a secret nostalgia for the far country. Abba falls on our neck and kisses us. And so your next blank you have is God isn't burdened with our burdens. God isn't burdened with our burdens. And so I think in that, like, God wants us to come to him, and he wants us wherever we're at, and he wants to be a father to us, and he wants to heal us, but we have to come to him. And so I know some of you might be like, well, what does coming to him even mean? Like, what does it mean to come to Jesus? And I think the, like, most simple way to put it is relationship with him, to, like, have relationship with him. I think in reading the Bible and spending time with Jesus and spending time in his presence, like, that's where you're healed, and that's where you're made whole. And so the next blank you have is it takes two to tango. It takes two to tango. In Leviticus 26:12, I think you can really see the relationship that God promised us. It says, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I think that's why coming to God is so important. As a father, like, God wants relationship with his children, just like your parents probably want relationship with you. And so in coming to him, that's where he heals you, and that's where you're made new. For me, and like my anger and my frustration, it was coming to Jesus, and it wasn't like a one moment like kind of thing. It was a process, and it took time and reading the word and spending time with Jesus and hearing what he had to say about my life and what he had to say about me and helping me to forgive and forget and let go. I think it can be easy to hold on to anger and frustration because it's kind of like a banner of your hurt, and it kind of like shows people that you were hurt. So I think it can be hard to let go of that. But if you don't let go of that, like, you ultimately lose. Because you have like the God of the universe right beside you who wants to take it away and wants to heal you and wants you to wants to make it better. And so the last thing you have is, so come and let him heal. So come and let him heal. I know there are like so many different stories around this room. Like, not all of you have been affected by divorce, obviously. And for me, it was divorce that like shed a bad light on God. And for some of you, it might be like sickness in your family or fighting with your parents or just stuff like that. I think anything in life that takes you down, I think that if you it makes you see God in a bad light or it makes you feel like God failed you, I think this is like applicable to you. But like, I think you should just know that like wherever you're at and whatever you're feeling, whether you're good or bad, God wants you and he wants you to come to him. He wants you to remember that he is the ultimate father and like he's ever present with you through everything. And so I would just encourage you to let God be that to you. And so you guys, I want to read a quote and I want you guys all to take it in like really deeply. So I'm going to have you guys all stand up and close your eyes. This quote is by John Acuff and he writes a blog called Stuff Christians Like. And he's actually pretty funny, so if you're ever bored, you should check him out. But this is the quote. Below is what I wrote in my journal a few years ago after reading Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm not asking you to complete yourself and then come to me. I'm asking you to come to me. Broken and burdened, infested with the most hideous lies about me and my nature, covered in perpetual sin that you just can't seem to shake. Because I don't see that. I see Christ. I see the blood of my son all over you. I know you think you need to work through your doubt before you can come to me, but that's not true. I can't wait that long for you to come. And how ridiculous is that lie, that you have to figure me out, know me, and trust in me without fail before you can come to me and get to know me. I do have gifts for you. Big crazy gifts, but the biggest of all is my presence. That's what I'm inviting you into, my presence. That's a gift I'm inviting you into. That's a gift I'm going to give you every second for every hour of every day for the rest of eternity. Come to me. Come be in my presence. It's so crazy to think you have to perfectly accept that gift before you can stand in it. I'm just saying, come stand in it, bask in it. Come stand in it filthy and let me cleanse you. Come stand in it broken and let me heal you. Come stand in it drunk on doubt and fear and let me renew a spirit of confidence and trust in you. Just come stand in it. Come stand in it covered with lies and misconceptions about who I am and who you are and let me reveal the truth. Come stand in it worried and stressed and trembling and let me cover you with a peace that transcends all understanding. Come, just come. Come stand in it with a past you can't fix and a future you can't look at without grimacing, and I will comfort you in this very moment. So like I said, I know there are so many different stories around this room, but wherever you're at, like, God wants you to come to him. And so for those of you who don't know Jesus, I just encourage you that God wants you wherever you're at, like wherever you're at, and you don't have to have it all together to come to him. He just wants you to come. And for those of you who might have like fallen away from Jesus, you don't have to have it all together to come to him. He just wants you to come to him. I mean, he wants to show you what a father is, and he wants to heal you wherever you're at. And for those of you just in need of healing, whether that's spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever, like, God wants to be that healer to you. He wants to heal you wherever you're at. So I just encourage you to come to him. So there's going to be leaders all around the room, and their desire is to pray with you. Like, they want to pray with you. And so if any of those things, like, hit for you, you should find one of them and pray with them. So I'm going to pray, and then.